My taste in prisons is improving. I wish I were stoned. I wish the old president were visiting tonight. I wish I still did the bad things I used to do. But I'm afeard I might enjoy myself too much. Tori lay on her side looking at us, holding her hand round his balls from behind, and when he was finished she took him in her arms and made herself come with his hand. And when she came, she screamed like anything. Spasms run up and down the length of his cock inside me, and at the same time all my muscles relax, and then a force like fire, like a bomb, rises up through the muscles inside of me. One of the boys who had a bit more courage came up and squatted down beside Tori. I'm about to come, and she took the boy's hand and pulled him over to her and helped him off with his jeans and shirt, and opened my legs wider and thrust upward. I realized now that I wasn't quite as drunk as I thought. I just wanted to be fucked, that's all. I just want him to fuck me.
Needs another minute at least. Take your time, but you gotta limit. Yeah, that girl looks forward to another meeting. Just like every day people I know. Looks forward to another simple meeting. There, a band of words. Looks forward to having a meeting. Just any old player you know. All he needs is rated. His education, even when he tell you it's a sophistication,
going to say be careful, so I don't get a baby when he came to, and I felt it. I've never felt it in all my life before or since, how he shot it into me. He held my shoulders tight and bent backwards, and it felt as if it was never going to end, and it was all hot and came again and again. 3 days after our first meeting, Tom and I were alone in my villa. I was wearing a black pinafore with a starched white collar. I began realizing he shared my anxiety at seeing him. I was hoping he'd realize I was stark naked under the pinafore. Then I was in my underwear. I moved closer to the fire. My back was turned to her. I'm sure she was looking at me. I asked her why she wasn't saying anything. She didn't answer, so I turned around and she was standing by the window and her back was to me. She caught me looking at her and took off her house coat and she was stark naked. She asked me if I thought her derriere was too big, and I told her no. And she turned around and used her fingers to spread her pussy open. I want to kiss. so badly and thrusting, thrusting, shoving, bouncing, called out to him and came up behind me. Suddenly he was over him, and she was helping him with her hands on his thin, hard bottom. The other boy sat up on the slope, staring. Tori laughed and muttered something in the boy's ear. I saw his face red, sort of swollen next to him, and he pulled himself out of her and fell over me all hard, and took hold of one of my breasts, and I shouted, because it hurt. And I was already somehow, and came almost at once. Can you believe it? Lots of talk with Z of my stopping singing. I do all the initiation of such discussion on my fear of being left alone. Z says that if it hurts me, it'll hurt him too. Z really cares for me. He says that he could call several women if he wanted to sleep with someone. But of course, I come to him like that. I've never been in that kind of position. Says he feels sorry for me. And then Tori came to the door. She was wearing a house.
When I am going round the bend, I got a wild imaginary friend. When I'm driven up the wall, my old friend, he comes to call. Mr. Whispers, here again. Mr. Whispers, here again. Apartment in my head. Mr. Whispers, here again. Mr. Whispers, here again. He's back in his apartment like I said. Just when life can get much worse, he tells me reassuring things. Says I'm the center of the universe. Says I'm as good as presidents and kings. Mr. Whispers here again. Mr. Whispers here again. I think I can control him, but in takes control, guides my heart and guides my soul. The minute that he steps inside my head, just when I am sure he'll stay, they shoot me with a bolt or two. They try to drive my Mr. Friend away. I'd rather madness than this sadness in my head. The thought he'll leave just bitterly burns, and my despondence grows. As soon as lonely sanity returns.
I was on. How did I get in here? I was on my. Wasn't I here last year? I was on my way. Why had they locked me in? I was on my way to. Who was my next of kin? Christ, will I ever win? I paid my airplane fare. I was on my way.
I was surprised because I thought she'd gone off to Spain with that designer she met. But she was standing there, holding the door at us. He took off his coat and asked Tori if she had anything hot to drink. Tori answered there's only whiskey and some terrible red wine. And then she laughed and I swallowed slowly and he was getting up tight and I burst out laughing and he looked at us. Then he said he was going to change his clothes. Tori and I walked back to her room. There was a fire on. I unwrapped my scarf. Tori was looking at me. He walked into a room wearing these classic pajamas like Dick Van Dyke used to wear, with a jacket unbuttoned. He had a bottle of whiskey with him. She asked me why I seemed to be shivering and said that if I was cold, I could get undressed. I shouldn't feel embarrassed. This is something we should be doing all the time, every bloody day, riding and sweating and fucking and humping and coming and squeezing and screaming and moaning. Then she helped me to take off my jumper and my skirt. Tori was fondling my bare breast. He poured me a shot of whiskey and gave it to me. I'm in agony. I know this is going to be a good fuck. He rubs his cock up and down my clit and the skin around my clit. He's playing with me, but I'm too hot to care. Z, what do you want from me? You don't think I can offer you the future you need? So what do you want? I told you I'm not going to be a cushion. I don't want to be your fucking temporary lover. I'm not going to share your love. I don't want part of you to love me. I want all of you to love me. I've made my commitment, and I want to know what you want of me. And I don't know is not an acceptable answer. Then he showed his cock to me, and I asked Tori to take my panties off. She kneeled behind me as she brought the panties down to my ankles, and all the while I was describing my buttocks to him. He was staring at my sex organs. His cock sticking up like a spike. He started in the Mercedes. I told him I fancied him too much just to let him, you know, screw me. It would be better, I told him, if we met another time someplace else. And we started kissing. It's idiotic, nothing in cars. I told him he'd better take me home and that I'd call him later. Tori poured the wine down my back and I turned to look at her and felt the wine drip between my cheeks and my ass. And he kneeled behind me and began to lick my ass. It wasn't disagreeable. In fact, it was really rather nice. Tori took a long time to kneel down in front of me, and she began to lick at my pussy, and I stood there between their two mouths for the longest time, not breathing, balanced on their tongues. Then he stood up and stuck his cock into my cunt from behind. She was pressing to my breast and belly, reaching around me and helping him fuck me from behind.
You're listening to WFMU.
Tori poured down my back and turned to drip between the cheeks of my ass, and he kneeled behind me and began to lick my ass. It wasn't disagreeable. In fact, it was really nice. Tori took a long time to look at my pussy, and I stood there for the longest time, not breathing, balanced on their tongues. Then he stood up and stuck his cock into my cunt from behind. She was pressing into my breast and reaching me, helping him fuck me from behind. Tori poured between the cheeks of my ass. It wasn't rather nice. Tori took a long time to kneel, breathing, balanced on their tongues. Then he stood up and stuck his cock into my cunt from behind. She was helping him fuck me from behind. From behind. My taste in prisons is improving. I wish I still did the bad things I used to do. And then suddenly he started shouting, "Into the kitchen, pussies! Into the kitchen, pussies!" And so we were scooted along naked into the kitchen, and I thought I was in the middle of a porn video, and on the table was a bowl of milk for the cat. And Tori said, "Milk is for pussies. How much will you bet me to sit on the squat on the plate?" But she wouldn't dare, he said. So Tori climbed to the kitchen and stood high, and she squatted and dipped her bottom in the milk. She ordered us to jerk off. She watched us the whole time, and we flushed and spots swam in front of my eyes, and I lost consciousness briefly. My taste in prisons is improving. Then we started laughing, all three of us, and called for the other boy, whose name was Dick or Peter, I forget which. He came slowly down the slope, looking all confused and frozen in the sunshine. He could only have been about 34 or 35, we saw, when he came up. Mark Paul was waiting for me when we got home. We had wine and went to bed. It was never so good between us before or since.
In Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure tome decree, where Alf the sacred river ran, through cabins, caverns measureless to man, down to a sunless sea. So twice 5 miles of fertile ground with walls and towers were girdled round, and there were gardens bright with sinuous rills where blossoms many, an incense-bearing tree, And here were forests ancient as the hills, enfolding sunny spots of greenery. But oh, that deep romantic chasm which slanted down the green hill athwart a cedarn cover. A savage place as holy and enchanted as e'er beneath a waning moon was haunted by woman wailing for her demon love. And from this chasm with ceaseless turmoil seething, as if this earth in fast thick pants were breathing, a mighty fountain momently was forced, amid whose swift haft intermitted bursts, huge fragments vaulted like rebounding hail, or chaffy grain beneath the thresher's flail. And mid these dancing rocks at once and ever, it flung up momently the sacred river, 5 miles meandering with a mazy motion, through wood and dale the sacred river ran, then reached the caverns measureless to man, and sank in tumult to a lifeless ocean. And mid this tumult Kubla heard from far ancestral voices prophesying war. The shadow of the dome of pleasure floated midway on the waves, where was heard the mingled measure from the fountain and the caves. It was a miracle of rare device, a sunny pleasure dome with caves of ice, a damsel with a dulcimer and a vision once I saw. It was an Abyssinian maid, and on her dulcimer she played, singing of Mount Tabora. Could I revive within me her symphony and song, to such a deep delight 'twould win me, that with music loud and long I would build that dome in air, that sunny dome, those caves of ice, and all who heard should see them there, and all should cry, beware, beware, his flashing eyes, his floating hair. Weave a circle round him thrice, and close your eyes with holy dread, for he on honeydew hath fed, and drunk the milk of paradise.
It was last summer. Mark Paul and I went on holiday together. It was in June, and we were quite alone. Went into town one day and it was sunny and hot, so I went down to the water. There was another girl there, sunbathing. She lived on an island nearby and had taken the canoe over to our beach because it lay to the south and was much more private, you see. And he talked about my body and how I turned him on and how it was mean and vulgar. And I was thinking of you. Of course, I was thinking of you. And he was driving me home, and then we stopped in the parking lot for a long time, just kissing, making out. In a hospital, I meet this young black guy. Connessy's the name that comes back to me, and his little brother. Connessy's a bum leg. I help him out the hospital and tell him I might be able to pay for an operation for his leg, giving him hope. We go to my grandparents' yard and play kickball with other people. Connessy is happy. The other girls are having gym, and they ride by on their bus. During the kickball game, I slip away. I'm lying about having money. I just want to cheer up Connessy and go into my grandparents' house and talk. Grandpa's in the garage, so I go sit in a chair in the garage and pondering my lie. I go in the house and talk with Grandma about the different animals buried around the house. The phone rings. It is Connessy. He says something inaudible. The alarm clock rang and woke me up. He had one hand between my legs and the other one around my neck, on my neck, one around my neck, one around my neck, but they didn't move, he just held them there. We stayed like that for a long time, and then suddenly I groped his crotch and rolled my palm over his balls and squeezed his cock through his pants. Tori unbuttoned his trousers and played with him. He sat there all serious and quiet while she stroked him and squeezed his balls and took him in her mouth. And suddenly he began to kiss her on the back, and she turned to him and took his head between her hands and gave him her breasts. The other boy got so excited that he and I stood up again like a couple of machines, and it went very fast and was as good for me as the first time. Then we had a swim and left each other. We lay there sunbathing quite naked and slept for a bit and woke up and put on some oil. We each had a big straw hat over our faces. You know, one of those big cheap ones. I had a blue ribbon around mine. Sometimes I peep through the hat at the scenery and the sea and the sun. It was all so funny. Then I saw two figures jumping on some of the rocks high above us. Now and then they hid themselves and peeked at us from behind the stones. There are a couple of boys looking at us, I said to the girl. Tori, she was called. Let them look, she said, and turned on her back. I always wanted to drink that. It was such a strange feeling. All the time I wanted to get up and put on my bathing robe, but I lay there on my stomach with my bottom in the air, not at all embarrassed, all sort of calm. The whole time I had Tori beside me with her little breasts and thick thighs and great bushy red hair with the secret lips I could sometimes see. She lay absolutely still, just giggling a bit. I saw the boys come in closer. Now they didn't hide at all. They stood there looking at us without trying to hide. They were both awfully young. But it wasn't at all like the way it is in novels or magazines. I don't know, the eyes were sort of fierce, the mouths, the words. I dare you, he whispered breathlessly. The day was extremely hot. I put the saucer on a small bench, stood directly before him, took the ends of the pinafore in my hands, and with my eyes fixed on him, I sat down, without showing him my burning buttocks under the skirt, and I dipped into the cool milk. His face flushed as the blood shot into his head, and I watched the stiff bulge throbbing visibly in his pants. Then he lay down at my feet and looked hard under the pinafore at the pink and dark flesh cooling in the white milk. We remained motionless, on and on, both of us equally overwhelmed. Suddenly I got up and the milk dripped down my thighs over the stockings. I wiped myself evenly with a handkerchief as I stood over his head lying on the floor. His hand jerked to his crotch and he rubbed himself vigorously and writhed on the floor. I want to come so badly and thrusting and shoving and bouncing every which way. We reached orgasm in almost the same instant without even touching one another. Now in the corner of a hallway there was a saucer of milk for the cat. Milk is for the pussy, isn't it? I said. Do you dare me to sit in the saucer? Here, time is very slow, postman tells me. My tongue moves fast up and down along the ridge of the head. It is semi-hard. My mouth opens and closes softly. I press and rub and lick. Nothing else happens, no matter what I do. We talk for a moment about money and rum and then go back to kissing. Must look for part-time evening work. Anything. Restaurant, deli, grocery store, delivery, anything. He's been affecting me somewhat with his pride about the kind of work he'll do. I'd rather vegetate than do shit work. I'm not going to do it ever again. If I'm going to take a regular job, it won't be in this city. Z says he needs a therapist because he isn't motivated. So hung up hanging on to the past. Like me, we parallel on many levels. He rejects his own maturity, which is the responsibility of taking care of oneself. He wants a home in the country and a child. Seems like it will stay hard. I pull away again, grab my purse, open the blue plastic case, and put in my diaphragm. What's that? He asks, eyes glimmering. A diaphragm? I don't like it. I have to use it. I can't afford to get pregnant. I don't like it. She was watching us the whole time. He pulls away, and I take the diaphragm out. We kiss for a while. I try to put his cock in my cunt. It's too soft. I touch him and try to put it in again. It's still too soft. I'm in agony. I know this is going to be a good fuck. He rubs his cock up and down my clit and the skin around my clit. He's playing with me, but I'm too hot to care. I open my legs wider and thrust upward. The right part of my body rises higher than my left. I want him so bad. He's partially inside me and we start moving faster. I'm about to come. He moves forward, so he's lying on top of me. I want to come so badly, I'm thrusting and shoving and bouncing too much every which way. We roll to our sides, and my left leg bends my knees near his face. He's holding me with his hands and pushing me back and forth. Light splashes over our slapping bodies. I throw my left leg over him so his cock is pressing against the side of my cunt. He rises up and pushes me down, fucking at the same pace. Spasms run up and down the length of his cock inside me, and at the same time all my muscles relax, and then a force like fire, like a bomb, rises up through the muscles inside me. Then I roll to my side and show my breasts and open my legs and suddenly said, why not come to me too? He took off his coat and asked Tori if she had anything hot to drink. I just wanted to be fucked. That's all. Then he said he was going to change his clothes. Tori asked me why I seemed to be shivering. And I said, and said that if I was cold, I could get undressed. I shouldn't feel embarrassed. Feel my heart upside down. No candle. A shadow blots out my words as I write them, so I write in darkness. To account for these last few days is to have lied to myself. These pages display my discomfort, my loneliness, my expressed need. I hope I never have to go through days like these again, waking at 5 a.m. in terror, and eventually sleeping, oversleeping. My body craves to be awake. The drug of sleep is only a temporary comfort, like your arms. I mumble and reach for memories of past lovers, the way I was held. No souls. I've made idiot mistakes. I pay for them. You got into this, you get out of it. I feel these pages being read. Z says that I am wonderful. I just don't believe myself. I am dishonest. I lie to myself. I can't be realistic. Somebody talk to me. Is this the goat song? Meanwhile, behind me, a discussion of will we be big stars in between gaps of psychodrama. Z, let my dream be yours. I'm confused. Make it the other way around. Let me be the business wife. You can be my artist husband. We'll live upstate. Tinker in the community theater. Sing in the light opera. We'll have kids. Our sleep will be disturbed. Do you want me? Can I fulfill your destiny? Let me know. I want a dream to make my life worthwhile. Somehow I've never had a home. I've always felt like I was in the wrong place. You make me feel at home. I'm destroyed. I unwrap my scarf. Tori answered there was only whiskey and some terrible red wine, and then we laughed and she swallowed, laughing. I was getting uptight and she burst out laughing, and I looked at them. Tori and I walked back to her room. There was a fire on. Tori was looking at me. She lay on her side looking at us, holding her hand round his balls from behind. Then she helped me to take off my jumper and my skirt. And when she came, she screamed like anything. My back was turned to her. I'm sure she was looking at me. I asked her why she wasn't saying anything. She didn't answer, so I turned around and she was standing by the window and her back was to me. She felt me looking at her and took off her house coat and she was stark naked in her coat. She asked me if I thought her derriere was too big and I told her no. Then I was in my underwear. I moved closer to the fire, and she turned around and used her fingers to spread her pussy open. This is what we should be doing all the time. She asked me to describe what I saw. Her thighs were white and her cunt was like a big black stain. She called out to him. It was last summer, and he came up behind me to undo my bra. Then we started laughing, all three of us. I called for the other boy, whose name was Peter, a dick, I forget which. It only had been about 34 or 35 when we saw him when he came up. He came slowly down the slope, looking all confused and frozen in the sunshine. And just as I was about to come, he cried out, "Stop! Stop!" And he made me kneel down in front of Tori with my ass in the air, and he took an egg and cracked it into my ass as I came, yolk dripping over my asshole and pussy.
Erasure tonight on the Chill Room.
deeply subjective show. Meant to be very personal for all of you. Hassan wrote in, God, the chill room is so beautiful. Wheezy was giving an ongoing commentary. Of what it was doing to her. If I list the things that I played, it'll just sound like any other radio show. Just a bunch of things. Just a bunch of musical pieces. Juno Reactor's Luciana. Erinice, the Manhattan album. Final Cut by Kotick. Oh, but there were songs. John Doe's Pressing On. But not many. Dory Previn's Mr. Whisper. Grateful Dead did Morning Dew. Caroliner, Seller with Intestinal Fortitude. A couple of tracks from the Midnight Cowboy soundtrack by John Barry. Midnight Cowboy itself and science fiction. Some Satanic Porno Cult Shop. Some Boys from Brazil. Sly and the Family Stone's Time. Eric Cordier doing Vieux Pied de Mer Pairs. Nurse with Wounds, Several Odd Moments Prior to Lunch. Axiomatic Integrations, 4 days. And Pressing On by John Doe, of course. You remember that. This is Miles Davis. He loved him madly. I read Kubla Khan by Samuel Coleridge. Thanks, Wheezy. Way back in there, Madonna did Like a Virgin. Played at 33 of 45, played at 33. But did you even notice it? And the main piece thrusting through, bouncing every which way, was Ouija, which is a sexual meditation that I wrote back in 2002. And that was Clara herself reading that. Recorded at Kill Radio when we were still in the Davidian building. He loved him madly. Miles Davis. There were other things played, because of course I played other things. The crickets are from my parents' backyard in Illinois. We heard daytime crickets and nighttime crickets. We've floated along for the last 80 minutes. And now I've got to go buy some vinegar and Advil PM for Edie. And you're all asleep now, right? You're in the doze. It's the right place to be. Go as far as you can, then leap a little further. It's 2:41 a.m., but then it's always 2:41 in the chill room. Thanks for listening to Kill Radio. And stay tuned.